What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
60% of the time, it works every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
You'll learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio shows.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. And if some of you out there are looking for Facebook Live, we're taking a break today. No
taking
Facebook
a break
Live.
Today. You want to know why?
Huh?
Because I've, like, puffed up. I am so huge. My sister's protecting me because I'm like,
oh, I
look like Mrs. Puff from SpongeBob. I'm just
SpongeBob SquarePants. There's a movie coming out, No, there's not a movie. Oh,
what?
I was watching the Macy's Day Parade.
You?
Yes. And the first thing that happened in the parade is some goofball gets on there and starts singing some song from SpongeBob acting like he's SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm like, I can't do this. I got to turn it off.
So the parade lasted what, 5 minutes for
in
you?
In my house, yeah,
or less.
It's killing it. By the way, you smell something burning?
Yeah, burnt popcorn. Yeah.
Where's that coming from?
I don't know.
Whoa, man, next door? What? Smells pretty good, actually.
It does. I love the smell.
Wow. Anyways, so did you have a good Thanksgiving, Dan?
I did. I had a really good Thanksgiving. All I did was eat and eat and eat and broke every rule that Jamie Atlas set out for
me. He's going to kill you tomorrow.
I know. But that's why we're not on Facebook Live today.
You think you're going to lose it all in one day?
I would take up the whole camera shot.
One day's not going to do it, Dan. You're not going
to
lose it all in one day.
I'm like fasting today.
So are you going to wear a big girdle?
I'm going to have to, man. I'm going to have to do
something.
Have
your wife bring one home. You'll be all right.
You know, saran wrap.
You know, back in the day, did your mom wear a girdle when you were a kid? Didn't all moms wear girdles?
I think they did, yeah.
Are those a thing? They don't get worn anymore, do they?
No, now they have man girdles.
Man girdles?
Yeah. It's for us to keep our man guts in.
What is that? What's a man girdle?
Keeps your gut in. Keeps it.
Well, where can I buy one?
And they come with like 6-pack abs on the outside.
Well, where can I buy that?
So like keeps it all.
Okay, so just aside, and this is not in the notes. I realize this, but when did women quit wearing girdles and why? Because you know TG&Y, that's where they used to get them at. Turtles, girdles, and yo-yos, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you see, they invented a thing called gym.
The gym.
The gym.
And then girdles went away.
Yeah, because they went and worked out. I have no idea why girdles went away.
Maybe Charlie knows. Charlie, why did girdles go away? Because women, almost all women wear girdles for a long time, right? Yeah, Charlie's mom did. My mom did.
I think my mom did, too.
Charlie said like late 60s, early 70s, maybe they stopped me wearing girdles. Late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, before...
before
it's
Spanx.
BS, before Spanx.
Before Spanx.
Hey. Well, I don't know. What they do in between, Charlie said.
Well, like I was saying, you could take saran wrap and wrap it around you really tight.
Is that what you're doing tomorrow?
I got to.
Dan, what's that squeaking noise?
Dan, why are you turning purple?
And why are you sweating so much?
I'm sweating so bad. Jamie Atlas is coming, and I ate way too much.
Oh, that's hilarious. Girdles. Yeah, those are a thing from a blast from the past. Girdles.
Blast from the past. Corsets.
That was to get into the dress.
That was the pre-girdle.
The pre-girdle was the corset. You know, I'm glad men have never had to wear anything like that.
No kidding.
Oh, bustiers?
Bustiers?
Charlie's saying bustiers.
What's a bustier boost?
Boucheries, he says.
appropriately named.
It boosts something. Yeah. Well, anyways, in other news, sex bot demand, Dan, is skyrocketing.
Oh, imagine that. You know, the one thing about a sex bot is they won't, 40 years later, they won't come back and turn on you.
Well,
as far as we know.
Yeah, if they get the life of their own, they might.
They might. You know, you're right. They might.
It says you can almost get anything you want now. It seems now that week after week, the age of sex bot comes closer to fruition. According to the Daily Star, demand for the mechanical sex companions in the UK has driven into mass production and is quickly on its way to becoming a global trend, with even brothels across Europe offering kinky dolls instead of real women. What are you laughing at?
Holy cow, I just saw a picture of one.
It looks pretty real.
They look really real.
Charlie says there is now a thing called robosexual, where you will only have sex with a doll. Robosexual.
Robosexual.
We have every other kind of sexual thing going on, so you might as well have that. I mean, seriously. Really. It's like, really?
You know, in some, you know, women have a real competition here.
Well, evidently, because these things are skyrocketing.
Yeah, they're skyrocketing. I mean, this is actually really scary.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about this in just a second with feminism and some other things. We've got a special guest coming up here in just a couple of minutes. So I thought we'd lead in with this because, yeah, Dan, you're right. I mean, in all seriousness, even though it's goofy and we laugh at it, we make fun of it, it really is serious because if this catches on, which it is, what happens to every other type of relationship that God designed us to have?
It's done.
It goes away, right?
It goes away, especially the family. There is no more family.
The family unit's dead, right? It's dead. Am I wrong?
And some people are complaining about the cost of these things. They were from $5,000 to $10,000.
That's a cheap date.
That's
just saying.
That's cheap.
Just saying, after one ex-wife and so on, that's a cheap date. Just saying.
It is. Have you tried raising a family lately?
One kid costs way more than that.
A lot. So this is probably
all seriousness. No. $5,000 to $10,000, Dan, to a lot of men, they're going to look at that and say, wait a minute, $5,000 to $10,000 versus a divorce versus X versus all these other things that I now have to deal with, that's pretty cheap in his eyes. And this is not me speaking. I'm just saying that's evidently what these guys are thinking, or the popularity would not be increasing. Am I right?
No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, I'm being serious. They have to be looking at this that way, saying, wait a minute, this must be a bargain.
Okay, but not only that, but you look at the study that came out last week where they're saying, you know, now your kids are a hazard to the environment. So, the left and the younger generations buying all this global warming nonsense.
This is all planned.
Remember the overpopulation nonsense?
BS.
It's still
BS, by the way.
It's still being taught. But this, now you can alleviate yourself of all this guilt by just getting a sex bot.
And eventually the family unit's gone.
It is.
We're not that far from it at this point. So
this is much more dangerous for our culture than what we realize at this point.
I would thoroughly agree with that. So while we laugh at this a little bit, this is serious. And if you want to read more about it, it's on the Daily Wire. We won't get into all the details. We're going to cover some of this topic in our next segment here anyways. And again, I don't want to get into a lot of gory detail with this, but let's just say that this is a real problem, psychologically speaking, on our society, Dan, because if these dolls start to replace female companionship, it's a problem.
No, it's a big problem.
So we're going to talk more about it in just 1 minute. So don't go away, anybody. Bruce Simmons is coming up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, and he would love to help you. The only thing Bruce does is reverse mortgages. So give him a call today. He'll meet you anywhere along the Front Range you want. And you may or may not qualify for a reverse mortgage. And let me just say this. Bruce will walk you through whatever it takes. Do you qualify? Is this a good fit for you? And I'll tell you this. I've known Bruce long enough now to know this. He's not pushy. He's going to lay out the facts, tell you whether this works for you or not, and you be the judge. 303-467-7821. That's Bruce Simmons. Call him today and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Bruce Simmons cannot stress enough the importance of hiring a specialist for your reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages are extremely unique loans with a lot of flexibility for the homeowner. You need someone steeped in information who can lay out every available option. For instance, how do you want to use the equity in your home? Would it make sense to draw out a lump sum, or do you need a monthly income for retirement? Should you set up a line of credit for the future, or do you simply want to pay off your existing mortgage? Instead of a loan officer who merely dabbles in reverse mortgages, you need someone with a comprehensive grasp of this complicated program. For nearly 15 years, Bruce Simmons has specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages. As far as he knows, Bruce remains the only certified reverse mortgage professional in the Front Range. Don't mess around with your money. Set up an in-person consultation with KLZ's reverse mortgage specialist at 303-467-7821.
All right, Grandma's Handyman. Things that you need done around the house. I know they don't hang Christmas lights, but maybe you need an outlet put someplace that would help you with the Christmas lights. Maybe there's other things you need done in preparation for Christmas. They can take care of you. It's affordable. There's a one-year warranty on every job. And if you're a senior, there's a discount there as well. So things that are too little for a contractor, call Grandma's Handyman today. Find them at 303-693-3003 and also on the web at grandmashandyman.com.
For the past 13 years, Grandma's Handyman Service has been helping Coloradan seniors do all the little jobs that need to get done. Grandma's Handyman has always been in the business of helping seniors just like you. We even still offer a 10% senior discount on labor off our already affordable prices. Don't leave your projects undone for another day. Grandma's Handyman is here to help you. Call to set up an appointment at 303-693-3003. That's 303-693-3003. 3003 or find us online at grandmashandyman.com.
All right, Colorado Wellness Dentistry, and you can find them on the web also at coloradowellnessdentistry.com. And if there's anything you need when it comes to your oral care, this is my dentist, Dan's dentist, both of our wives, numerous people around the radio station here go. Dr. Olson, let's just say this, has made a real impact here on KLZ listeners, or KLZ and our staff, and you as listeners as well, because we continue to get feedback from you guys that you go, you visit him, you love it. And guess what? The best part about Dr. Olson? He doesn't let the insurance company dictate what happens with your mouth.
And that's critically important.
He basically says, hey, if you got insurance and I can use it, fantastic, but I am not going to base my decisions on what the insurance company tells me I should or shouldn't do when it comes to your oral care. Frankly, Dan, I'd rather have that.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it.
I have that with my doctor. I want that with him because that's the way I want my health care to be done. I don't want an insurance company telling me what I should do. I want somebody that knows more about it than they do telling me what to do.
No, you're exactly right.
So go see him today, 303-953-4812. That's ColoradoWellnessDentistry.com. Ask about NuCom as well. It's a great product that basically you go through this system that enables you to basically relax in the dental chair. So, again, Colorado Wellness Dentistry, 303-953-4812. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
When your roofer can't finish the job because he discovers asbestos in your roof or siding, you need to call the longest-lasting abatement company in Colorado at 303-298-8550. American Abatement offers more than 30 years of experience removing hazardous materials for homeowners across the Front Range. Call Jim Oleskovich and his team of OSHA-trained EPA and state-certified employees at 303-298-8550. American Abatement, safely removing asbestos in Colorado for more than 30 years.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dan Mueller, Charlie Grimes, our engineer, Julie Roy is joining us now, and she is the author of a new book, Redeeming the Feminine Soul. Julie, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Hey, great to be with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You've got a master's degree in broadcast journalism from Northwestern University, which means you have a lot more training in what to do than Dan and I do.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll see about that.
We should actually like reverse roles and let you like take our chair and we'll just kind of, you know, we'll just be along for the ride because we actually don't know
sure.
what we're doing. Do
well,
we, Dan?
No, not a clue.
We really have no clue.
Every day at 3 o'clock, I turn on this microphone. I'm like,
yeah, we just go for it. We really have no idea. So, all right, let's do this. You've got a new book, Redeeming the Feminine Soul, released September 12th, 2017. So been out now for just a couple of months. Talk to us about, first of all, the book, why you wrote it, and then let's talk about God's surprising vision for womanhood, which most people today don't want to talk about.
Yeah, well, actually, the book is somewhat autobiographical. It's my own journey to really discovering what it means, what's biblical womanhood. There's a lot of different opinions about that within the church, but also even in culture, you know, what is womanhood and what should that look like? And for me, growing up in my, you know, when I was in my early young adult years, like in my 20s, I really felt a call to doing ministry. And I found that because I was a woman, there were you know, constantly barriers put in my way. And so I was a little bit frustrated by that, and actually a lot frustrated by that. And there's a lot of angst surrounding that. And I really began to wonder, I mean, what is this all about, you know? And is God a misogynist because there are some barriers to that? And, you know, what are these sex roles? Are they good things? Are they not good things? And I tended to lean more towards sort of a feminist interpretation of things at that point. But then I went on this journey, as you do in life, and your views tend to change, and mine changed a lot as I realized that some of the things that feminists were telling me weren't true, and some of the things that they were saying were in women's best interest really weren't in best interest. And so, again, it's my story, my journey, both telling some very personal stories in this, but also kind of my intellectual journey as well, to coming to embrace a very different vision of womanhood than I started out with in my 20s.
Well, and I want to add something to what you just said too, Julie, because I don't want to pick on any particular church or denomination, but I can also tell you that, you know, growing up in the church for many years myself, I can tell you that there are particular denominations as well that, frankly, I think also have that role messed up.
Yeah. Well, and there really were two visions that I saw in the church. I mean, we have churches that are more fundamentalist and traditional in their interpretation, and those churches would maybe really say women should stay within certain roles and not step outside of those. And then we have sort of your feminist churches. There's plenty of those where women have a lot of freedom to do a lot of different things. But what I found in those churches that wasn't compelling to me is that they were basically saying that men and women are functional equivalents. Mm. And at this point, I was young. I mean, it was in my 20s, but I was married at the time. I had a child, and I knew enough at that point, just from that experience, to know that men and women aren't functional equivalents.
No.
They're different in some pretty profound ways. And so, yeah. I couldn't really embrace either vision, but found myself in limbo in between both of them.
Okay, so let's talk about that along that journey. How did you find, you know, that happy medium between, you know, the feministic side, which I don't agree with either, but I also don't agree with, you know, women should just be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen either. So, I mean, I even personally believe there's a balance there somewhere to where women, and all throughout Scripture, women have played at times very, very important roles, and God used them in really miraculous ways.
Yeah, and actually, my epiphany on a lot of this, some of it came through a breaking experience I had where I found myself in a very codependent relationship, which was really bizarre for me because, you know, in codependency, I don't even know what it was at the time, but I know now that it's kind of being in a relationship where you're dependent on somebody else being dependent on you. And it was something I just fell into. But women predominantly tend to be in these codependent relationships. Men don't. You know, I mean, there's some men that do get in codependent relationships, but 85% of the codependent literature is bought by women. And so feminists have a real tough time with this, you know, because they sit there and say, well, there's no essential difference between men and women. So it must be just that women have been conditioned or socialized to be nurturers. And that's why they kind of tend towards this dysfunctional way of expressing that. But I knew I had been raised in a home where I was taught to be fiercely independent. So that kind of messed with me because I was like, no, there must be something that's beyond my anatomy, that goes deep into my soul, that God has woven into me, that is uniquely feminine and different than a man. And so that began me, you know, kind of looking for what is the essential difference between men and women. And so it was actually reading, and this is funny because I work at the Moody Bible Institute. Mm-hmm. I work for Moody Radio,
okay,
which is very Protestant, evangelical. But I was reading John Paul II, who obviously is a Catholic author.
Right.
And he described something called theology of the body. I had never read this before in my life. And I remember going to some of the professors at Moody and saying, hey, is this Orthodox? Because this is really compelling to me. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's good Trinitarian theology. And I'm like, well, I'm 40 years old. I've never heard of this before. Why have I never heard of this? But basically what he talks about is that men and women together were actually meant, you know, we see in Genesis 1:27, it says that God made male and female in his image.
Right.
And there's something about male and female that reflects the image of God. And then you go forward to Genesis 2:24, it talks about the two becoming one flesh. And that was always thought by theologians to be a symbol of the Trinity, of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons existing as one essence. And so marriage was meant to reflect Trinitarian life and love. That was mind-blowing to me. I had never heard that before. And so as I began to search more, then you realize in the New Testament, it talks about in Ephesians 5 about this being a relationship between Christ and the church. You see this one flesh union, again, reference from Genesis of husband and wife, that reflects God's Jesus relationship with his bride, the church. And so you see that marriage is actually symbolic of something much greater, that it has this great spiritual significance. I never heard that again until I was 40 years old. But that gave me a new paradigm, and it shifted me from thinking about it in roles and what we do and don't do, and more to, okay, this is like a much greater thing than just what we do and don't do.
Awesome. Again, we have Julie Royce with us, and it's R-O-Y-S, Redeeming the Feminine Soul. The book was released a couple of months ago, September 12th of 2017. And you can actually find Julie at her website, Julie, and it's J-U-L-I-E, Royce.com. So you can go there, actually learn more about Julie. So, Julie, do you think women are more happy or less happy today after feminism?
Well, studies say that we're less happy, which is ironic because we have so many more freedoms, right? We should be a lot happier. But studies show that we're significantly less happy. In fact, we were happier than men in the 70s, and somewhere in the 90s, it just switched. Where now men are reporting that they're much happier than women. And so I think what we're finding in our culture is that we embrace this mantra that feminists taught us, that if we simply became like men, that we would be happier, because I think that's essentially what second wave feminism taught us to do.
Agree.
But it has actually caused us to die to something essential within ourselves. And I think as a result of that, we are less happy, we're stressed out, and we're working a lot harder than we ever have before. And I think a lot of women are saying, I'm not sure this feminism thing is working for me.
Well said. Okay, you've got a chapter. And as I read this, I thought, okay, wait a minute, you got to explain this. I think I know what you mean, but I want you to explain it. A man in every woman and a woman in every man. Explain that.
Yeah, it's actually a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he said, there ought spiritually to be a man in every woman and a woman in every man, and how horrid ones who haven't got it are. I can't bear a man's man or a woman's woman. He wasn't talking about or proposing any kind of androgyny like we see in society today, where men and women don't seem to know who or what they are. But he was simply saying that men and women should each embrace and embody both masculine and feminine in proportion to the gender that they are. And really, his argument was that God is not unidimensional. He has both masculine and feminine characteristics. We see Jesus, for example, weeping over Jerusalem. It says that he longed to gather her together as a hen gathers her chicks.
Right.
That's a very feminine kind of metaphor. But he also has very masculine characteristics as well. We see God, you know, as a father. He's always referred to in the masculine that way. And so what he's saying is, you know, God embodies both masculine and feminine, and we, if we were made in his image, need to embody both the masculine and the feminine too. And I think that's one of the things when I'm talking about like sort of the fundamentalist church and the feminist church, you know, kind of these two different visions of womanhood.
Both ends of the spectrum, basically.
And they're both caricatures. And really, I think what we need is a much more balanced and healthy view of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman.
Great segue. Hang tight. Can you do another segment with us, Julie?
Absolutely.
All right, hang tight. Julie Royce is with us again. You can find her at Julie Royce, J-U-L-I-E, Royce.com. The book is Redeeming the Feminine Soul. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. U.S. Gold Coin is coming up next. If you want some wealth insurance, U.S. Gold Coin is the place to go. Andy Goss, who is our great contact there, he's a guest on our show on a monthly basis. Andy would love to take care of you and show you how you can use gold and silver to help you when it comes to staving off inflation and having some wealth insurance. USGoldCoins.com, 1-800-468-2646. Call them now and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
On September 13th of 2017, Congress decided to raise the national debt ceiling and issued almost $600 billion in bonds. This means every dollar in the world will be worth a little less, while everything else will be a little more expensive. It's called inflation, and there is very little we can do to stop it. This is scheduled to happen again in December. If the government can only make $600 billion last for 3 months, how are we supposed to expect them to keep our economy afloat forever? There is something you can do about the rising tide of inflation. Andy Goss from usgoldcoins.com wants to teach you how to protect yourself against inflation by collecting valuable gold and silver coins. That's why as a KLZ listener, Andy's offering to give you his three CDs, The Federal Reserve, The Definition of Money, and How to Protect Your Wealth, all for free. All you have to do is go to usgoldcoins.com or call 800-468-2646 and mention KLZ. Stem the tide of inflation and secure your future with real, authentic, and very valuable U.S. coins by calling Andy Goss at 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646 today.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair, drive with confidence as you head into winter, which, yes, in Colorado, we will get into winter. Don't worry. We're supposed to have some snow maybe even next week. So trust me, folks. Drive with confidence. Be ready. In fact, as the Christmas season rolls around, you may, you know, as you get out, you may be driving around doing things like that. You want to make sure the vehicle will go from A to B and really do that in the most, in the least costly way, I guess the way I should say. So do that with some confidence. Extreme Auto Repair in the heart of Parker, 303-841-1071. They'd love to take care of you. Great friends of mine. Please go see them and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Thanks to Extreme Auto Repair, I can stop stressing out about my car breaking down. I don't take very good care of my car because I don't know how. Most of the time, I drive around hoping that my car will still run tomorrow, as terrible as that sounds. When it's freezing cold outside, that fear gets a lot worse. Honestly, I just want to know that my car will work. I need someone I can trust to give me a professional opinion about whether or not my car will make it through the winter. Because I listened to KLZ, Dennis Brewster told me he would take a look at my car for free. He'll ask one of his techs to write a report with advice about what I should fix. Now I'll get a clear picture of what I need to accomplish so I can actually drive with confidence. You can be smarter than I was. Instead of vaguely fretting about whether your car will keep going all winter long, find out what your car needs now at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Julie Roys is with us again. She's got the book that is Redeeming the Feminine Soul. Actually, producer Ann, Dan's sister, is joining us as well. So, Ann, you had a question or wanted to join in with the conversation with Julie, so welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's more of a comment. When she was talking about John Paul II and the theology of the body, I wrote a paper in regards to some of what his lecture was about, and I tied it into same-sex couples being, quote-unquote, married. When I look at that, when you redefine marriage, you're trying to redefine God.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. And
because
actually,
that's all the symbolism she was talking about. That's what the marriage covenant is about.
Good point. So. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Good stuff. Ann, appreciate that. Well, very well said.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I love that Ann's read Theology of the Body. There's so few people that have, and it's so rich. I mean, that's exciting to hear. But she's absolutely right. I mean, if you understand, as John Paul II taught, that male and female and the union of them are reflecting the Trinity, these mm-hmm. two different persons mm-hmm. becoming one, then if you take two same persons and try to unite them, essentially what you've done, because we are supposed to reflect the God's image, it's actually symbolic blasphemy in a way. Because what you're doing is you're reflecting a perversion of what God is.
Yeah.
God is separate persons, different persons becoming one, not same. And so it really is. And I think really, when you look at why is that under attack, when you realize the spiritual significance of marriage and of male and female and why they're so important, then it makes a little more sense why they're so under attack in our culture today.
Great. And well said. Let's talk about the church again for just a moment, because I think a lot of what, just my own personal feeling on this, a lot of where we're at with certain things, we can go right back to the church and find out whether we're doing it right, wrong, or otherwise, and that's reflected back into our culture. That's how I believe anyway. So when you talk about, you know, evangelical churches, are we getting the roles right? And I know that's a blanket statement because there's a lot of differences in evangelical churches in the way their, you know, their theology is and their doctrine and so on. And I get that. But in general, are we doing better at that when it comes to females in their roles, or are we worse now than we used to be, Julie?
Well, I can only say what I know now. It's hard to really compare to what we used to be. But I would say I think we're missing it by and large. And what I feel like is in the fundamentalist, real traditional kind of evangelical church, and there's a spectrum within evangelicalism. But I would say in the more conservative one, what's happening is there's just such a focus on sex roles that we're really missing the forest for the trees. We don't understand often what Anne just said. You know, we don't understand the significance and why there are sex roles there. And so we miss the forest for the trees. We don't understand why God made male and female to begin with. It's much more than procreation. But then in the more feminist kind of churches, you know, the one has missed the forest for the trees. The other one has destroyed the entire forest. It's like there's no difference between male and female. And very, very few churches. And it's stunning to me as I go around and I begin to talk about the book and people are reading the book. There's so many people that are just like I was, where they never heard this before. They never understood it. And this is why we can't really speak to our culture and why we're doing such a poor job of it and why even the whole LGBT thing, we can't really speak to that because we don't understand what marriage is ourselves. We're missing it ourselves. And so, yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason I wrote the book is because I felt like in the church, there's so few people that get it, and it's critical that we begin to get it.
Well said. I appreciate that. Do you think that or let me ask you this. What do you feel the proper gender roles are when it comes to ministry? Should certain roles in ministry be only male dominated, or you know, or even function with only a male leader? Or do you feel like there's every role out there can be one or the other?
I think there's difference. I mean, because I mean, even if you look at if we're talking about us being symbols of Trinitarian life and love, are there roles within the Trinity? Yeah, there are. Is there a hierarchy within the Trinity?
True.
Yeah, there is. I mean, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Is hierarchy the main thing you think of when you think of the Trinity? No, you don't, because it's an organic relationship, and it's one where there's all this mutuality and love and deference to one another. And so that's what I think we're missing a lot in the churches. We're missing that vision. So when it comes to gender roles, I think, you know, most traditional churches have staked their flag on this hill of women can't preach and teach. Like, that is the main thing of what it means to be a woman. And I feel like they've completely missed it, because really what it is again, reflecting Christ's relationship to the church, this Trinitarian life and love, these organic, beautiful relationships. And we've made it into a corporate power structure, and that's not what it's about.
Yeah, no, and I happen to be just my background in a denomination today. I didn't grow up this way, but I'm in one today that is still very biblically based, very, I feel, scripturally based, Wesleyan holiness doctrine, so very theologically sound. But yet, I am in a denomination that if a particular lady feels called to go take a church on, so be it.
Yeah, it actually, Wesleyan tradition is where my mother was from, the Wesleyan tradition, and my grandparents. And actually, my great aunt was a bishop in the Wesleyan church. So I have a lot of appreciation for the Wesleyan church. But I would say when we come to it, we do think of it of what women can and can't do. And I would think, you know, as I look at Scripture, there's one passage of Scripture that talks about women not teaching and preaching, and that would be 1 Timothy 2, 11 to 14.
Which everybody stakes their claim on.
Well, and you know what? It's one of the most difficult passages, because there's a word in there that is authentic that only occurs once in Scripture, and then it has this weird thing about women being saved through childbirth, and there's a lot of different views on what that really means, and I unpack those in my book, but it's a very difficult passage. But we also have passages that show that, you know, Philip's daughters, for example, because they prophesied. And we know that Priscilla and Aquila instructed Apollos. And so we do see women being in some of these teaching roles if we look at the whole Council of Scripture. Yet we also see very clearly men being the head of a man is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. There is headship. There is some order. So I think what I say is the bigger thing seems to be, again, the symbolic representation. And so in our church, for example, men can only do certain sacramental roles. Like, for example, a man could only officiate communion.
Right.
Why? Because when he's doing that, he's sort of a stand-in for Jesus, because he, you know, just like Jesus took the bread and
great
broke the Last Supper.
Yep.
And God, even though he has both masculine and feminine, he is always masculine in relation to us.
Yes.
He always initiates.
Agreed.
We always respond. There are roles there. But so a man could only do that kind of sacramental role. However, a woman can get up and preach on a Sunday. That's not a big deal in our church. So a woman could do all sorts of roles, has absolute freedom to use her gift. But when it comes to some of those sacramental things, that's where we would say, no, this is important. This is where gender distinctions are crucially important. And so we've reserved those for men. And so only men could be like a senior pastor or a priest. Mm-hmm. However, women get to serve in just a myriad of capacities.
Yep. Well, you and I are on the same page, Julie. I'm sure that you, not trying to brag on my behalf, but I'm guessing you probably don't find that very often. But again, I think a lot of that has to do with, even in my own world, some of the spiritual shift I made some 20 plus years ago from one particular, you know, end of the spiritual spectrum, I guess, maybe, you know, coming into the Wesleyan holiness faith. And it really changed my view on a lot of the things that you're talking about. And you know why, because you're very familiar with that.
Yeah, yeah, and I love the Wesleyan background. I mean, I'm not in a Wesleyan church now, but I really cherish that foundation. It's a beautiful church, a wonderful church, and I'm glad to see some people care about holiness, because I tell you what, our culture doesn't.
No, you're very right. Okay, so women that are struggling finding their purpose, whether it's inside the church, outside the church, inside the family, outside the family, I'll let you have the last word here. What advice would you give women listening today when it comes to that?
Well, I would say search scriptures to find God's design for who you're supposed to be. Because if you follow the culture and what it tells you to be, you will end in just a dead end. And that's not where happiness is found. The true fulfillment, it is in finding our identity, our purpose, who we are, and who God designed us to be. And that's in the Word of God. So I just encourage people, look at it there and take your idea of what it means to be a woman from Scripture and not from the culture.
All right, we have time. One last question. Having a daughter, which I know is in my notes to ask you, having a daughter, how did that transform you?
Having a daughter was absolutely life-changing for me, because, and I talk about in the book some of my own realizations of having attitudes towards my own gender and towards femininity that were negative, really, because I had embraced what the culture says. But God had done a lot of healing in me. And by the time I had my daughter, I was in my mid-30s, and I was ready to have a girl. I had two boys already, but I was so ready to have a girl. And she so embodied the feminine in such a beautiful way and called it out in me in such a beautiful way that it was absolutely transformational. And I know in God's sovereignty, He gave me a daughter just when I was ready to have one.
Amen.
And when I was ready to embrace that. So Good. Enjoy the ride. Congratulations to you.
Good for you. Go ahead, Dan.
So I just wanted to say something that you were talking about the differences between men and women. And so we went up and visited our new granddaughter over the Thanksgiving holiday. And my wife couldn't grab that baby quick enough. Now, my son and I, we were like, we'll have it at some point. You really want us to.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
There's a huge difference. No, there is.
Oh, there is. And my daughter, it's so funny, because when she was little, the boys would try to play with her, for example. And she loved playing with them, but they would, you know, play blocks. They would build these towers, and then they'd always smash them. They always enjoyed crushing them as much as building them. But my daughter, when she would play blocks with them, she would get these blocks. She would give them each names, and they would all be talking to each other.
Yes.
And that's how she would play blocks.
Yeah, we're just crushing them.
That is so
true. The men are just crushing them. That's just how it works. Good stuff. Real quick, Julie, where can folks buy the book?
It's available at Amazon, any major bookstore, or you can go to redeemingthefemininesoul.com, and there's links there as well.
All right. So, again, the name of the book is just that, Redeeming the Feminine Soul, was just released in September. Author is Julie Royes. It's JulieRoyes. You can find her at her website, julieroyes.com. Julie, fantastic. Thanks so much for your time. Stay in an extra segment. I really appreciate it. It's been great having you.
It's great being on with you. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Julie. Have a great evening. Appreciate it very much. We can have her back. She's good.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, that was a home run, Dan. Thank you, producer Ann, for not only setting her up, but calling in.
Well, next time we have
and
to prepare
talking.
Her, though, for the sex spots, because we never got into that one.
No, we didn't, actually. Well, we can have her on and talk about that.
She would be good.
She'd
be really good about that.
I wouldn't want to blindside her, so we could tell her on the front side, hey, do a little research, this is what's going on. But yeah, we could have her on and talk about that.
That'd be awesome.
Let's do that. All right, we'll do this. We'll come right back. Front Range Mortgage is coming up next. If you're a veteran without a VA loan, you're missing out. In fact, a lot of you think, well, you know, I had a VA loan a while back. I don't think I can have another one. Well, you know, you don't know till you ask. So call Brian Murphy. Give him a few minutes of your time. Let him know what your situation is and see what he can do for you. That's Brian Murphy, Front Range Mortgage, 303-500-1900, and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
If you are a Colorado veteran and you are not in a VA mortgage, you've probably been lied to. If you're a veteran and not in a VA mortgage, 99% guaranteed, you're paying too high a rate, throwing away thousands of dollars a year to a bank that will never tell you they're taking you for a ride. As a vet, you're entitled to use a VA loan over and over again. You should be paying zero in mortgage insurance, and you can take out 100% of the value of your home for paying off credit cards. Your bank is never going to tell you how much you're throwing away, but I will. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local Colorado-only mortgage team that has helped hundreds of veterans to drop their mortgage insurance, save thousands, lowering their payments, and pay off high-interest credit cards. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how much we can save you. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com. NMLS 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
And hey, we were talking earlier about just the family, the destruction of how to keep things going and so on. And one area around here that we really want to help out is Life Choices. There's the Colorado Gives coming up next Tuesday. What I would encourage you to do is not only give now, but on Colorado Gives Day, that'll be a big day to give towards Life Choices. There's matching grants and things that go into actually helping a lot of these nonprofits, Life Choices being one of those. So I encourage you, go to lifematters.org, find out all the different ways that you can give, you can help, you can be a part of what they have going on. Why? Because life matters at Life Choices.
Life Choices offers an alternative to Planned Parenthood for pregnant women who may consider abortion their only option.
You guys are like the opposite of Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely, in many, many ways. One, for what we stand for life. But secondly, not taking money from the government, that $500 million that they fight so hard to keep. Plus, that doesn't count what they're getting from the states. I guess that's what's so exciting about being a part of Life Choices is that we get to focus on life and the joy that it brings in creating families. Our whole purpose is to bring a hope and a future to as many babies as we can.
With 5 medical centers across northern Colorado, Life Choices provides pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, STI testing, and compassionate counseling free of charge. Join the battle against Planned Parenthood and become an advocate for unborn babies by supporting a privately funded, faith-based organization. Donate to Life Choices Pregnancy Centers today at lifematters.org.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, KLZ 560. So I saved this story for Dan today because it's actually titled Breaking News, but it's not so breaking because this was actually, I believe, yesterday that it came out. So Congressman John Conyers Jr.
John Conyers, see, 1963.
Has announced that he'll be stepping aside as a ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee over the investigation and allegations of sexual misconduct. Now, keep in mind, John Conyers has been a congressman since 1963.
Unreal.
Look me up. I'm pretty sure. We talk about it enough, Dan, where I believe I'm right. It's either
63 or 64.
And I think it's a year longer than I've been alive, which I believe would then be 1963, because that's how I remember it. I'm almost positive. 1963, he's been a congressman. Now, tell me whether or not somebody should be in Congress 53 years.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely positively not?
Absolutely positively not. I mean, there's absolutely no
excuse. How effective can that guy be at this point in time?
Well, you know, that not only effective, but how corrupt is he by now?
Very.
Extremely.
Very.
Extremely correct. Sorry. But I guess, you know, hey, if all your constituents want is you to bring home the bacon, you know, John's your guy.
1963. So I have not done the math. So I guess you could divide that. Let's see. They are in for 6 years. Am I saying that right? Or is it 2 years?
2 years. Yeah, representative for 2 years.
Senator six, representative two, right?
Correct.
So he's had how many elections in 53 years? 25, 26 elections, Dan? So he's won 26 elections. Think of that. 26 elections.
It's outrageous.
Am I right in my dates, by the way?
Yeah. I'm checking them right now.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Anyways, he has stepped aside as a ranking member. And initially, Nancy Pelosi was sort of on his side trying to defend him, but I think she's backpedaled some on that, and I don't know that she's doing that quite as much as she once was. That's one of those stories that kind of was over the Thanksgiving holiday that, frankly, Dan, I didn't follow ever so closely. So what'd you find out?
Oh, no, he's elected to the House in 1964.
Oh, sorry, so same age as me.
Same age as you.
So for 53 years, anyway.
He was born in 1929, young pup.
Guy needs to go out of here. Am I right?
Yeah.
He just needs to go bye-bye.
He needed to go.
Sorry. He needed to go a long time ago.
Long time. As a matter of fact, he should have been gone before the 1970s.
So you would know this answer better than I, because many people are out there thinking to themselves, why don't we have term limits? Because we've never passed them, right?
Well, because we've never passed them, and originally the founding fathers didn't see any need for them because people did not want to become career-long politicians.
Somebody just said that he's been in office since Kennedy died.
Yeah.
Great point. Never thought of that. He's been there since Kennedy died.
He's what we would call a relic. He's been there a long, long
time. A long time.
Like I told you before I went on vacation, we have the oldest Congress between the House and the Senate that we've ever had in the history of the country. Because we had that doctor on talking about all the drugs everybody's on. You remember
Alzheimer's and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, some of these guys just need to go bye-bye. So here's a question for you, because this has been asked of me. What would it take, and could we even be successful in putting term limits, even if it's four terms? Let's give these guys some longevity if you want. Could you actually say, we're going to limit these guys to four terms? You know, basically, that's still 36 years.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll ever get it passed.
For 24
years,
they're
the ones that would have to limit their own fiefdom.
And they probably wouldn't do it.
And they're not going to do it.
Because they want to be there for 53 years.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
They do. They really do.
Okay. I mean, just a side note. How many people do you know have been in the same job for 53 years?
I don't know anybody that's been in the same job for 53 years.
53 years. Now, around here, Mr. Crawford Sr. probably has, but that's probably
about it, right? Yeah.
But he's an owner of a business. It's a little different situation,
Different. But that's not a guy, you know, like this, punching a time clock.
No, he's on our clock.
Exactly.
And he needs canned.
But look at how many of these guys go in poor and come out millionaires.
Yeah, does it say what his
net worth
is? Do you
really think they're going to limit this?
Does it say what his net worth is by chance? You know, we could actually take a quick break and come back and talk about that. You want to find out what his net worth is now
after
how long he's been there? Okay, let's do that. We'll do that. Michael Bailey Law, mobile estate planning is coming up next. Now, if you're somebody that has any kind of wealth, any kind of an estate, which, by the way, all of us do, there's hardly any of you out there listening that don't need a will. Everyone needs a will and estate planning, and even in some cases, a living will, trust, things like that. Michael Bailey can help any of you with any of those needs. Call him now, 720-394-6887. He'll run up and down the Front Range, meet you anywhere you want to meet. Again, 720-394-6887. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
So, you haven't called Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, yet, but really, what's the worst that can happen today? Well, first, you could die without a will, and then your oldest child will start a fight with the rest of your family about what should happen with what you left behind. And then, because you didn't take a little time to make a plan, all of your assets get tied up in the probate court. And because the court case takes so long to be settled, all of your spouse's savings get used up on legal fees, and they're forced to move into that tent city on the outskirts of town because it's all they can afford. And your youngest child will have to join a secret military team as an undercover spy just to make ends meet. All while your oldest grows more resentful because they feel entitled to your assets, and they become a wild-eyed megalomaniac and end up building an elaborate slow-moving torture laser that they use on your youngest while monologuing about world domination. Now you get the point? All of this could happen because you didn't call Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, while you still had a chance. Call Michael Bailey at 720-394-6887 to avoid the worst that could happen. He'll come to you and get your will drafted today.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So Dan did a little research over the break there, and he's not one of the wealthiest members of Congress.
So he hasn't even figured that one out.
He's been there 53 years. He hasn't got that done.
He can't figure out how to become a millionaire in Congress.
Because the rest of them have.
You know, there are freshman congressmen that, you know, in their first 16 months become millionaires.
Somebody else just texted in, how many people that old can make a clear, sane decision regarding our country? He has to be senile. Well, I'm not sure I can. Charlie said he walks around in his underwear at times. So, in his office. So I think that explains that, Dan.
Was it because he forgot to put his clothes on? Is he trying to woo some women?
I don't know, Dan. I don't know.
Seems to be the thing in D.C. I guess there's a slush fund for that, too.
Yeah, where you can actually pay people off. You just keep them on payroll indefinitely, basically. Yeah, just
We get to pay for that.
Keep them on payroll until their payout's done, until the payola's finished. That's basically what they do. The slush fund is there to basically create a job for these individuals, even though they're not working on Capitol Hill. It's a payola.
You know, Boehner's real quick to tell Judge Roy Moore to step down from running for the Senate, but he sure isn't real quick in releasing the names of who got paid off in the payoff.
Good point.
How come those names haven't been released?
Great point. $15 million.
15 million smackers of our money as hush money to keep people from being, you know.
It's a lot, sexual. Dan.
That's a lot of money.
Really? No, it is. It's a lot. And again, folks, we need to clean some house. And there's guys like Conyers in there that, you know, I'm not saying just because he's old he needs to go, but because he's old he needs to go.
He's old. Yeah, I would just say that. I just come right out and say that.
He does. Okay, one other thing that did come up. This is some interesting news as well. More guns were sold this last Black Friday than any other Black Friday before. 203,000 background check requests were done on Black Friday. So those were legitimate gun checks, you know, gun background checks done on Black Friday, 203,000 of them.
Yeah, but how many were bought through the gun show loophole?
There's no such thing.
How about the internet loophole?
That's no such thing either.
Oh, I figured more would be bought that way.
No. So, nope. And real quick, some of you that are on the left that maybe don't understand this, my dad was asking me this the other day. He's like, well, you know, I'm confused. Why can't somebody that's got an FFL license in Michigan, that maybe you decide over the internet you're going to buy a gun from them and have it shipped to Colorado? Why can't Michigan just run my background check? You know, why can't the gun store in Michigan run my background check, take all of my information, and send it to me? Because it's not allowed. That's why. You have to buy a gun with our current gun laws that we have. By the way, I don't agree with this, but this is how this works. You cannot buy a gun outside of the state you live in. You have to buy the gun in the state your address, your home address is in, period.
Now, I didn't know that. So, okay, so let's say I was in Minnesota.
You can't buy a gun there.
I can't?
No, you cannot. Nope. And you know how I know this?
How's that?
Because when I was in Arkansas one time at Cabela's, down there visiting my grandkids and kids, I'm in there. I'm like, oh, this is a pretty nice gun. I wouldn't mind taking this home. And, you know, the guy, we'd kind of been talking to somebody. He's like, well, you can't buy this here. I'm like, well, why not? He's like, well, you're from Colorado, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that's your home residence, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, can't do it. He said, now you could purchase it. I could ship it to Colorado. You could go buy it at the local Cabela's store in your area, but I cannot sell you this gun and have you leave with it.
That is crazy.
Now, I didn't do any checking on that, but I'm guessing he's right because he pretty well has to know his.
Well, yeah, because he'd sell you the gun if he could.
Yeah, trust me, he wants to make a sale. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, these guys are going to make a sale. So, yeah, so in other words, the other reason why you have to purchase in person, that's the other reason why they do it that way. You can't buy something over the internet because they have no idea who you are. Correct?
But what about the internet loophole?
I'm just telling you, there isn't any. That's what the left doesn't understand. It doesn't exist. There's not an FFL dealer out there that's gonna mail you a gun to your house. Won't happen.
So, okay, so when you do go online to purchase these guns,
you got to have somebody here
that they ship it to.
Like Bristlecone,
okay,
which they would do a transfer, I'm sure.
Okay.
If we talked to Jacqueline, she would do that. So Bristlecone, you pay them a nominal fee, 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever it happens to be, and they handle all the paperwork here, run your FFL, which, by the way, I would do ahead of time to make sure that the gun you purchased somewhere else can actually be received. Because otherwise, they're going to sit on it and not sell it to you.
Oh.
You're going to pay for it, they're going to sit on it, and you won't be able to pick it up. Unless you can pass the background check.
Gotcha.
So see, we already have some pretty good gun rules in place or gun laws in place. I don't agree with them, but that's what's in place.
Darn it, we need more loopholes. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, whatever. They don't exist. All right, hour number two is coming up next. John Rush, Dan Muir. If you missed any of this first hour, catch it between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight. If it's close to 7 o'clock, have a fantastic evening. Hour two coming up next. John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. I'm